Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back when I was a child, there was a man who worked on this campus on the custodial staff by the name of Art Chartel. Wonderful Christian man, and he was diabetic. About the time he got to be my age, he suddenly lost his sight, which does sometimes happen to those with diabetes. And I remember that he and his wife invited us over to their house. I was probably about seventh grade by this time. We went to their house, and the meal was being prepared, and Art, completely blind, stood up and offered to pour coffee for my mom. And I about fell over. But he took the cup of coffee and took the pitcher of hot, hot coffee and began pouring it, and he stopped at just the right place. And my dad said to him, "How did you do that?" And he said, "I use my fingers as a sensor to tell exactly when it's getting to the top of the cup." I am just absolutely amazed sometimes with people with certain disabilities, the things that they are able to do. There was a gentleman at our church years ago who had one arm, and he could do 10 times more than I ever could with two arms. He built cabinetry, and he was a stained glass window maker, just absolutely amazing. It fascinates me, and probably those of us that have been blessed with good health, to see people that maybe haven't had all of those same advantages, and yet so often their ability to just work around that, oftentimes have such a fantastic attitude about things too. In the text before us, the disciples of Jesus see this blind man, and they begin to make assumptions about him, false assumptions. You might say cause and effect assumptions. That somehow the fact that he had been born blind was a punishment to him or possibly to his parents for a particular sin. Now let's stop and analyze this closely, and we have to be very careful how we express this. Certainly the presence of any trouble or health concern or disability in this world, any suffering that we must endure, is because of the general pale or effects of sin on this fallen world. Were it not for that fall, we would not have to deal with any of these things. However, the problem that the disciples have is they are ascribing a very particular sin to an individual as far as looking at why this had been caused in this person's life. And God had not given them that insight to see his reasoning behind it. Now, let's also be clear. There are certainly times when there are physical consequences to certain sinful activities and actions. People with sexually transmitted diseases, alcoholism, drug abuse. There may also be times, once in a while, when a particular sin of a parent is passed on to a child through the pregnancy, fetal alcohol syndrome, a crack baby. So there certainly are consequences that often come. But to see them as a direct punishment of a particular sin, let's say on that child, is going too far. But we're tempted to do this. We're tempted to look at the world and see problems that are out there and somehow use cause and effect reasoning to figure out why God has let these things happen. And sometimes we fall conversely into this false thinking when things are going well, too. We call it success theology. If my life is going well, if I'm being blessed and everything seems to be right, I must be living my life right with God. And this is not necessarily the way things work. When we observe disabilities or health problems, whether it's in our own lives or in the lives of others, we are not to assume that we can figure out God's reasoning behind it. He does not allow us to sort of peek behind the curtain of His hidden will for us or for an individual. And that is the theological problem that Jesus exposes in His disciples. He corrects this false thinking, and He instructs His disciples that in this man's particular case, God was using his condition of blindness sort of as, if you will, a canvas upon which the glory of Christ and His divine nature could be painted and could be revealed to humanity. Christ was going to use this man's disability as a way to glorify God and to show Himself as the Son of God. God is not the author of evil. He is not the sender of evil. He is not the creator of evil in any shape or form. And yet, as the all-controlling God of all things, there may be at times in this world when He will direct and guide and control certain evil to bring about His own glory. We think about Paul's thorn in the flesh, that he pleaded with God 3 times that He would take it away from him, and yet God let it be. He certainly knew that it was from God that this was happening as far as God's permissive will, and yet he properly says it was a messenger of Satan to torment him. So the one who has brought the evil in the world is Satan, and yet God there, Paul expresses, is allowing it to be directed to him. But God lets that infirmity stand, whatever it was. And finally, Paul concludes, "Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities for Christ's sake, because it caused him to cling to the grace of God for his hope of getting to heaven." It'd be interesting to interview this blind man now in heaven and to find out his perspective on his earthly blindness when he was here in this world. It might be that he looks back now and thinks that very condition was maybe one of the best things in his life. The problem or condition that may plague you the most in your life, even a health condition, the trouble and problem that you have to deal with the most in this life and that might cause you to turn to God in the most sincere and intense prayer might be the very thing in heaven that you thank Him for, because it might be the very thing that helped keep us at the foot of the cross, clinging to His grace, looking forward to a new home where there is no trouble. Faith, and only true Christian faith that God creates in our hearts, trusting in the promises of God, praying to God, "Thy will be done," only faith can find a treasure in suffering. Jesus uses this man's blindness as an opportunity to display His divine power. And wherever Christ reveals His healing power, as He does in this man's life, He also is demonstrating to us His eternal saving power. He can defeat the devil in every little thing he does, as well as every large thing that he does. We've probably seen videos of children or young people who suddenly have been given the gift of hearing that they didn't have. And just the expression to suddenly see them hear their mom's voice or a sibling's voice. What an exciting moment that is. Just think of all of the exciting moments that there will be in heaven when all of the disabilities and suffering and trouble of this life is relieved from our bodies. May God give us eyes of faith in this world, faith in our Savior, to view all of the negative things that happen to us and all of the troubles and suffering that we have to deal with in such a way that it makes us long with an even greater zeal for the beautiful home in heaven where all of this will cease. Amen.